So by now you've heard about the tweet the president put out after the brutal murder of Rob Reiner. Quote, the movie director and comedy star has passed away together with his wife, Michelle, reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump derangement syndrome. We also know that he doubled down in the Oval Office when he was asked about it, and since then there's been backlash. Let's bring in Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic. Good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning.
I assume that you're going to say that the tweet wasn't a good thing for the president to do. My question is, moving forward, are there cracks within his own base? Because a lot of people now have come out to say that was a horrible decision.
Well, it was appalling. I mean, there's just the lack of decency is obvious, and it comes across as deranged. It drew, fortunately, a lot of criticism from allies of the president, and deservedly so. Unfortunately, there were people, and there continue to be people, that defend it or brush it off, or try to say, well, Democrats said this about Charlie Kirk, as if that justifies,
but it wasn't like the top ranking Democrat.
No, it was not. I mean, that's what's unfortunate. I think this is an opportunity for Republicans to step out and check the president on something he deserves to be checked on. Unfortunately, I've been reading through, news this morning, and it's not being mentioned anywhere because now everyone's moved on to the Susie Wiles interview with Vanity Fair. And, that's the nature of the media cycle that we live in now, that, outrageous things happen. And they're, we're outraged for about 24 hours. But it looks like we've already moved on from this.
And, Jason, Trump defended Susie Wiles after she described him as, having this alcoholic personality. Does that level of candor humanize the president, or does it reinforce concerns about, impulse and self-control?
Listen, we can see the guy. I mean, I don't think her saying it changes how anybody feels about him. He has an erratic style, always has. I think she is obviously indispensable, and it's interesting after those comments to see pretty much everyone that she criticized rushing to her defense. And some of those things, you could see how they were in context, probably not as incendiary as they read in the way they're presented. I haven't read the article. I've only read the excerpts that I've seen in media coverage of it. But I think it does show, that there is, even in normally chaotic White House, a little more chaos than we're even seeing.
I guess my question, a little bit to Jamie's point, is does that put Republicans in a tough spot, right? He comes out and says some terrible things about Rob Reiner. Then this piece comes out about Susie Wiles, and everybody has to kind of fit into that puzzle piece. We're thinking midterms now. Does that put other Republicans in a tough spot?
Well, looking at the politics, and let me focus on the Reiner thing first. I mean, first of all, saying something decent or saying nothing at all costs nothing.
Right.
But
right.
What President Trump did was alienate a lot of swing voters because, mm-hmm. Quite frankly, and I think there's a bit of hubris on the right that we need to get over, that we won an election because we're better than the other side. The reality is we were running against worse candidates. I mean, Kamala Harris was arguably the worst Democratic nominee in the 21st century and the 20th century. She was terrible. And so this is not some, we're not enjoying a victory lap because we did such a great job. We're just less bad than them. And for swing voters that are right now navigating inflation and the economy and AI and all the things that are happening in this country, when they're looking at the two parties, I would say this week we look a lot worse than the mm-hmm. Democrats because of the Reiner thing. And so I think we're alienating people unnecessarily, and I think we need to get focused on the issues and stop with all the nonsense and noise. I think, coupled with the Susie Wiles thing, it's just not a good look. I mean, the president is making progress on a lot of things on the international stage. They are, attempting to address the healthcare challenges. They certainly appear to be focused on inflation and affordability. But all of those efforts get buried in coverage of absolute nonsense that has nothing to do with doing the job of governing the country. And so I just don't think it's a great look. History is not on Republican side going into this midterm election, and I don't know why we are going to complicate it even more than the environment that we've got to navigate anyway.
I'm just wondering macro what you're seeing, you know, with Marjorie Taylor Greene sort of on the outs with everybody, people pushing back a little bit more when some of these tweets are a little crazier than the last. Do you see any cracks here?
Oh, I do. I think, you know, for a lot of people, they're starting to understand that MAGA is less a political movement and more a cult of personality, and that there's only one rule, which is to nod at everything that Donald Trump says and does with a smile. And, you know, there's still significant elements of the MAGA base that will never budge no matter what. I mean, you know, going back to what he said 8 years ago, that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. You know, I think with a good portion of the MAGA base, that remains true. It's about him. It's not about his beliefs. You know, he has flipped on a number of issues, and the base has just flipped with him rather than kind of holding him accountable. And I think when you talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and we've talked about it before, she didn't concoct something that she had, you know, a difference with Trump. She literally was holding him accountable to his own rhetoric and his own position. She didn't deviate. He deviated, mm-hmm. and she stayed where he was. And that turned her somehow into a quote unquote traitor. So, yeah, I do think there's some fractures there. And, you know, with the base not turning out in these off year elections and these special elections, and Republicans losing seats like, you know, in Georgia, in Miami, that we shouldn't have lost, and underperforming in races we really were never going to be competitive in anyway. We can't afford to have the base fractured even more when they're not even performing at a rate that we can rely on. And then, you know, how do you offset that when they don't turn out? Well, that is winning over and persuading swing voters to come to our side.
Right.
And what we're doing right now is not helping with that.
And the Reiner tweet was the opposite of doing that. Jason Rowe, we appreciate it. If we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, have
Merry
a great
Christmas,
holiday.
Guys. Thank you.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is, Lloyd, like, you like boxing.
I do.
This is like having somebody in the seventh round on the ropes, mm-hmm. wobbling, and then you turn around to showboat. You don't need to do it.
Nope.
Finish
mm-hmm.
the job.
Yep.
Like, Democrats are on the ropes.
I feel like it's more like you punch yourself in the face.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
If we want to go with the boxing analogy.
Yeah.
This was an own goal that didn't need to happen.
Look at these guys.
Let's talk about the economy next at 7:35.